Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Google Workspace Recap, a Tab Geeks Network show. Each week we take you through everything announced by Google Workspace, discussing the updates of the week and other relevant news and announcements. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. And I said I would do this in one take, so we're not doing it again.
It's taken us an hour to get here, so yeah.
I'm a little bit tongue-tied already by this point. But hey, in other news, we did it. We officially crossed the 100 subscriber mark on YouTube. In fact, we soared past it. We're now at 140 and counting. And we have our custom URL for the account, so now you can all go and check us out at youtube.com/tabgeeks or tabgeeks.com/YouTube, whichever one makes you happier. They both work.
Yeah, we had a bit of a technical challenges getting set up today for some reason. My 2160p, my 4K stream was basically lagging behind the audio and couldn't figure out what it was causing it. Still haven't figured out what's causing it. But
it's weird.
It's weird. So we've got the Brio connected into the laptop doing 1080p, and that's the other thing too. So we connected the camera into the laptop, and it wouldn't go up to the 4K. So it's only staying at 1080p on the laptop. So not too sure
Well, it's called Riverside and ask them.
I mean, Apple, Riverside.
You look fine, Chrome, though. Yeah, Apple, Google.
Where are the issues coming from?
Logitech. Well, somebody fix this.
I mean, it might be the network. I don't know.
Go ahead. Blame the network.
Yeah.
I have that shirt, too, you know. Yeah. Where did that shirt come from? That was some conference.
Next. I got it.
That was one of the next ones?
The last in-person Next event.
Yeah. Which vendor was it? I don't even remember.
I believe it is... the one that does some network monitoring.
That narrows it down.
Trying to think here. I can kind of see on the back. I can't tell.
Thousand Oaks. Thousand Eyes. Thousand Eyes. That's what it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Not the dressing. It's a very comfortable shirt.
It's great.
I'm pretty sure that they're using Bella Canvas out of LA. They're my favorite.
Well,
most comfortable shirts.
Not only that, but I get comments on it all the time wearing it out from people that are unrelated to the tech field. I always get comments on it wearing it. Yeah.
Why do lay people blame the network all the time?
I guess so. They're always laughing about it. They're always saying something about it. Like no other shirt has gotten as many comments as this one. You know, like tech.
You should
tech shirts. You know,
you should definitely do one with DNS and see if you get the same amount of comments.
I'll see what I can. If you've got one, send it my way. I don't have a shirt with DNS.
I feel like I had one. Something along the lines of "It's always DNS." I don't remember which or where I got it from, but it is always DNS. So I'm blaming the network.
Yeah. Just,
what do you think of my lights behind me? I finally got them up.
Well, it's good, and I kind of like the idea though of having it rotating between all the different Google colors, but. I guess there's
I could do that.
Not to do that, but if you want to, that'd be
well. For those of us who are watching on the show, we'll go. You know, red now. Red matches Deadpool over here over my shoulder. Then what order does it go in? Trivia for anybody who doesn't know.
Is there an order? What an red order for the Google?
Is
colors?
It blue? There is. There's an official Google order color chart. We're gonna have to set up some rules here to automate the color changing sequence.
Well, it's
people on Spotify and the podcasting platforms are like, what the hell are they talking about?
I wonder if
we promised to keep it a non-visual show.
Oh, well, if you go in the order of the letters, it is blue, red, yellow, blue, green,
blue,
red.
Red, yellow, blue, green, red. The green didn't take. Yeah. Green, there we go. Red. Yeah. Whatever. So I'll keep playing around with it. I can do automations on here. I'm using the Wyze Strip, WYZE. They're my favorite smart home brand. I love their stuff. I have tons of their cameras and light bulbs, the scale and sensors and outdoor equipment, sprinkler system. They're just awesome.
Well, I was trying to automate my return home and my departure. And, you know, I was going into the home, Google Home app, trying to, you know, generate a routine. And I found out you can't actually generate routines based on location. You have to actually talk to it and say, you know, hey, Google, I'm home, or hey, Google, I'm leaving.
Interesting.
I couldn't figure it. Well, at least I haven't been able to figure it out yet. I haven't taken the time to like dig into it, but the routines were based on voice, you know, activation. And
right.
I couldn't say, you know, when I leave this area or, you know, when I associate with my SSID here, then do something. Or, you know, when mm-hmm. I disassociate or if I leave this radius, you know, do something. That's what I wanted to do.
I've never tried to do that inside of Google because I usually do that inside of Wise or SmartThings, Samsung yeah. SmartThings.
See, now, I did kind of see some of that location-based
rules. I think Nest did it. I think Google did under that. Nest when, I mean, Google owns Nest, but I think that Nest did it for some of their, I think the lock does it, that if you're in proximity to the lock, it'll unlock or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't use too much of the Nest stuff anymore.
Yeah. And the other
thing, for my thermostat.
Well, the other thing too that it was not doing for me that I wanted to do was to configure the colors of the lights. And mm-hmm. it was really only allowing me to turn them on and off.
What bulbs were you using?
I'm using the FET bulbs, you know, the ones you get at Costco. Mm-hmm. So in right. there, you can build scenes and do things like that and do some automation around, you know, when you leave a certain location or something like that, some radius.
Right.
But, you know, then you got to use two apps for it. But we'll see. We'll see what I can
do. Yeah, that's why I actually recently was having a conversation with somebody about the issues with smart home right now. One of the biggest issues is that there is no interoperability that is actually decent. There's a little bit, but it's most of it sucks, and you can't do so many different things like that, complex automations and setups and things. Mm-hmm. The biggest, most robust ecosystem that you can do is SmartThings, but even that hasn't been as innovative as some of the other individual services out there, which is one of the things why I like Wyze, is because they are a single ecosystem. They're building all this stuff themselves, and it all works really, really well together. Are there more lighting options in Philips Hue? Yeah, sure, but they're the best, and they're also, like, I don't know, 8 times the price.
Yeah, well, maybe not 8.
But they only work with like 50, their bulbs like and their stuff.
More, yeah.
Then Wyze, I got like 4 bulbs for $15 or something. Like, they're super cheap.
Yeah, I think the Philips ones are, you know, like $10 a piece for per bulb. So,
sure, but then you also have to own the hub.
Oh, is it only a hub? They don't have Wi-Fi ones with Philips?
To my knowledge. It could have changed. It's been a couple of years since I played around with the Philips gear. That was the first one I bought, though, and I was blown away by it. But I needed something that worked in an ecosystem, which is why I went SmartThings. And now I'm moving away from SmartThings and going towards Wyze. But, I mean, fingers crossed, hopes and prayers here that Matter, which is the new smart home protocol that Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, I don't know who else, have all bought into and joined together to make a proper open standard for smart home devices to be able to communicate and operate together. Hopefully that really, really progresses. It was called Chip, I think, Connected Home over IP, and then they renamed it Matter, and they had a really strong showing at CES this year. But we'll see. They have already built it into some of the devices, such as the current Alexa or what do they call them, the Amazon Echo devices. The new ones all have Matter support built in, and I think the latest Google Home Hub does as well.
Well, it does look like there's some. Yeah, I mean, speaking. Well,
I'm gonna have to do a whole separate video on smart home tech for the Tab Geeks YouTube channel.
Yeah, but speaking of shows, you said mentioned CES. There's a show starting this weekend here in Chicago. There'll be the Chicago Auto Show kicking off this
nice. Weekend.
So I will be heading to that. And then
grab your camera and go cover all of the electric cars. We'll do a Tab Geeks electric technology car. Yeah. Series hosted by Steve.
I was looking at the auto show website, and there are more, at least on the website, there are more electric cars than there are convertibles at this show. And the other thing too that really is disappointing,
that makes sense,
is the few number of concept cars. I remember as a kid there used to be so many concept cars at the Chicago Auto Show.
Yeah,
now there's like 2.
And I used to go to the Javits Center in New York every year, the New York Auto Show, and yeah, same. Concept car after concept car after concept car.
It's nothing anymore.
But now all the concept cars are who can shove the most tech into one car.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think they show them in North America as much as they used to.
That's a shame. Well, I'm serious. Go take your camera, make us some videos. I can't wait to watch them, folks. Sign up so that you can see Steve being a gearhead, a technology gearhead. I didn't know about this side of you, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be there.
We have an announcement about another show. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not the Tab Geeks Conference. Google Next has been announced. Oh,
that show. Yes.
That show. Yes. Oh, that one.
That one.
Save the date. That's the only thing that's been released at this point.
October 11th to the 13th.
And I'm totally offline for the first day.
Yeah, well.
Makes me very mad.
Can't you, like, ask for a hall pass? Get an exception?
No. God doesn't work that way. Can I ask Google to move it forward a day? That would be great.
Just ask for forgiveness, right? Isn't that something to do that? He does that, right?
Yeah, there he does go. Do that. See? But, perfect. You know, kind of not so happy with that. Be easier to ask Google just to move it forward a day.
I think the former is actually easier, but anyways.
Well, October 11th to the 13th.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting, and I'm jumping the gun here a little bit because we're already talking about this, but when they first published the page, and I saw it almost right away, it said it was going to be both a physical and virtual event. I swear it. I'm positive that it said that because I sent you a message and said, it's going to be in person, and I was very excited about it. Screenshot, but now on the site, I'm sorry. Next time, I'll learn my lesson. Now it says it is too early to determine the exact shape and experience of the event and how it might potentially span the digital and physical worlds. So please stay tuned for updates as we plan with the health and safety of all in mind. So I guess the events and PR team got in there and said, no, take it down. You have to put this statement in instead. So sign up on the website, cloud.withgoogle.com/next, and you can get updates for when the full catalog and speakers and info and registration launches. Yeah. We have an update, I think. Is there a release this week? Something?
There was one.
A topic? It's a small one.
Yeah. Shall we talk about that a little bit?
What is it? Yeah.
Well, it's the new integrated view for Gmail. It features email, Google Meet, chat, and spaces all in one place.
Finally. We can talk about it.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, it was announced a while ago. You know, we had screenshots for it, so we knew about it. We had some early access to it. And we, you know, handed out some early access to a few of our listeners that we're asking for it prior to tomorrow.
You're not supposed to tell people that we did that. Google's listening. I tweeted it. Big Google is listening.
It's, you know, if you know someone who knows something, you know,
there you go. Get
early access sometimes. But yeah, that is our one update for the week, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about that. I've been using it for a little while. I've also, you know, rolled it out to some of the users in my organization, got some feedback from them. And it's interesting. Most of the feedback I got was, what's different? It's not that much different. But I know why. I know why they said that. And we'll get into that as we go through the update. And then we had a few other topics. You know, as we said, we talked about Google Next coming out, you know, happening later this year, 11th through the 13th of October. And, you know, some more, I guess, more evolving topics or more things evolving with the G Suite Legacy Free Edition shutdown. And, you know, we're working on building out the post is live, isn't it? It's just an evolving.
The post is live. Yep.
Evolving document, isn't it? Evolving post.
Yep.
Yep. So we've got that. And then Google also made an announcement about the free Google Workspace Essentials edition. And I think the timing of that was probably not the best because I don't think it's a direct response to this, you know, G Suite Legacy shutdown. I don't, because it's not mentioned yet at all on that help article. So it's not there. There's really, you know, no reference to it in, you know, when they made that announcement. So I don't think that, and of course we know that that's not the answer that everyone's been looking for, right? Because it doesn't have Gmail, that key feature, Gmail and calendar that you want. And I'm exploring a little bit. I'm trying to get up an instance set up and test it a little bit. I know, I think you've created an Essentials edition, and just trying to figure out, my big question is as well, what's the difference between Workspace Essentials and Cloud Identity Free? To me, it's the same thing. So far, from what I can tell, it's the exact same thing. So I'm sure there's one little nuance difference to it that isn't published anywhere that, you know, you'll have to use for a while to figure out what's different. That's what we have for the week. And then, you know, I think we've got, which is good, we've got a few updates coming this week already. We've seen a few, so a little teaser into next week's episode for all of you listening. But yeah, let's dive into that one update that we have, which is that new integrated view for Gmail features like email, meet, chat, and space. It's all in one place. So this rollout is actually happening Tuesday, the 8th of February, so tomorrow, as we are recording this today on Monday, the 7th. And users will have the ability to opt into this new look and feel. So, you know, there's some organizations that just moved over to Gmail, I know, and, you know, the new interface from Outlook into Gmail, of course, you know, it's not enough. So now they're going to get a pop-up saying, hey, try a new interface out. But you can revert back to it. So, you know, they don't have to say yes. And if they do say yes, they can revert back to that new interface. And there'll be some time for users to get more familiar with this. And there are some timeline on this is that in April, later this year, users who have not opted in will begin seeing the new experience by default, and then they can revert back to the classic Gmail via settings. And then by the end of Q2, there'll be some new things happening here. So it'll become the standard experience for Gmail with no option to revert back. So keep that in mind in terms of timing and communication to your users. Around the same time, users will also begin seeing the new streamlined navigation experience on chat web. So mail.google.com/chat. And then also that also means that users will not have the option to configure chat to display on the right side of Gmail. So that will be something that is changing. So for anyone that had that chat on the right side, not going to be possible moving forward. There's more consistency in terms of what can be where and the layout of everything for users. And, you know, the design of it, I think, is pretty good. I think there was one comment that I had seen from someone where they were talking about, you know, having less and less space to actually see your emails. And, you know, at first glance, it kind of looks like that because you have, you know, you now have your mail, chat, spaces, and meets, you know, left-hand sidebar. You have your inbox and your labels as your, like, next large sidebar on the left. Then you have your messages, and then you have your right side sidebar, right? So fewer space in the middle for emails. But what you can do is you can minimize that right sidebar almost to nothing. You can minimize your inbox and labels column almost to nothing. And you can actually have a pretty large space to read those messages and you know, work on documents, chat with someone, have a document side by side. And you know, that feedback that I received from some people within our saying it didn't look too much different is probably because we don't use chat at all. We don't use spaces. And I think one of the big benefits of this new integrated view is the ability to tie in, you know, chat and spaces and editing documents into that email experience. And I think that's where the biggest benefit comes in with this new design and new view. So if you're an organization that's not leveraging chat and spaces, then, you know, this change is going to be pretty, I think, insignificant for most of your users. It is, it's not going to really change how they're, you know, seeing and using that inbox and what that experience is going to be like. So keep that in mind, you know, as you, as this rolls out and as you're getting feedback from your users, because I think that is, that's what I've been hearing, and by, you know, looking at it, it's also kind of what I feel as well. Jesse,
so I've been playing around with it a lot since it started rolling out in the alpha, and I actually gave it also to a bunch of people in my organization. And at one point they were like, they had forgotten what the old interface looked like. And then they went and they were sharing a screen with somebody in the organization who does not have it. And they're like, oh, why does yours look funny? And I was like, oh, right, that's the old interface. So it was very easy to get used to and to adapt mm-hmm. to. And personally, I have to say that, honestly, I've said this before, I'm a huge fan of having chat in a separate window on actually a separate monitor here, because I've got wide screens and I have a lot of them, and I like having everything spread out so I can just glance over and see, you know, oh, I have a chat there waiting for me, or nothing, I didn't miss anything or anything like that. And I have found myself ignoring that second window more and more, just because I know that I see it all right in front of me on my Gmail window. And any of the work that I'm doing in Spaces, I find myself jumping back and forth in that same window. And I find that that activity improves the overall experience, and it increases when I'm on a smaller screen or on a laptop. I don't even open the second Google Chat window when I'm on either only two screens or if I'm just on the one screen on the laptop. And using it all in that one screen is just a very well thought out, snappy, fast experience, and I think that they really got it right here. So I'm a big fan, and I also am a big, huge fan of how easy they've made it to access labels. I wanted to mention that because they're directly below your inbox, and some of your inbox type folders, you know, starred and snoozed and whatever, the things you never really access, they compress like they usually do, but the labels are right there, and they're really easy to see. And I have a lot of stuff that sorts automatically into labels to help tame my inbox, so to speak. Oh, that's a good episode we should do, taming your inbox. And you know, it's really good to just look at a glance, be like, oh, I have a whole lot of emails that are in there. I should probably go in there and see if I miss anything, or see if there's anything that I need to address, and so on.
Yeah. And let's see, I think final notes on that is the rollout pace, which kind of alluded to there about tomorrow being the first day for it. And that is the first mm-hmm. day for rapid release domains, which is going to gradually roll out up to 15 days for feature visibility for that. And then scheduled release domains will be on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days, starting the 22nd of February. And there will be another update on the updates blog with Help Center content once the rollout begins. And it's available to everyone, of course, except for those Workspace Essential customers that, well, don't have Gmail, so, as we know.
Weird.
And that's our updates for this week, folks. One and done. That's it.
One and done.
So next this year, I think Jesse.
Next.
Yes, we tried to get a hotel for next last year, hoping that it was going to be in person. I think we will. I'm going to be doing the same. I think.
Yeah.
You know, we hope, of course, again, that it will be in person. So we'll be probably grabbing a few rooms at a hotel nearby at Moscone Center, and be able to, you know, hopefully get a few other people, other listeners, anyone else that is coming in. Let us know if you plan to be coming to next, and see if we can grab a few rooms at the same hotel, be nearby.
Host a Google Workspace meetup for sure. Yep,
do a meetup there. I know last in person one 2019, there was some meetups with the Google Education space team members,
yep.
Ian Crew and a few others that I'm familiar with.
Oh, it'd be good to see him again. It's been a while.
Yep. And you know, I think it was a Marriott or a Hilton that we grabbed last time. So we'll try to grab the same one,
I think so,
just adjacent to Moscone Center.
You know, once again, it occurs to me, you and I still have not met in person.
We were supposed to.
Close a couple times there.
Yeah.
How do you like that, folks? A whole year of publishing together and still haven't met each other in person.
Yeah.
Power of the internet. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a lot of people that I've known for quite some time here in the Google ecosphere and have not yet met in mm-hmm. person, even longer
than
years. I mean, we kind of have known each other more than just a year, right? It goes back I mean, many, many years.
We've 2015, 2016. Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah,
well, I won't be able to be at Google Next for the first day, like we said in the beginning, because it's the Jewish holiday. But if I can, I'll hop on a plane that night. And if not, then the next morning, as soon as I can get out there. I hope that the day that they deem Google Workspace Day, because Google seems to think that they should stuff all of the workspace sessions into one day, isn't the day I'm offline, because that would not be fun for me. And also make it very difficult to properly cover the show as a journalistic podcast, I suppose.
I'm telling you, Jesse, it's the ask for forgiveness. I'm telling you.
I hear you. You're the little devil on my shoulder over here. Here's Deadpool over here. Where is he?
Yeah.
Put it on my shoulder. I'm just going to rename. Oh, I knocked him over. I'm going to rename Deadpool Steve. Yeah. Whoop, I'm just breaking everything. There we go. There's the Steve bobblehead right there.
That's it. That's me.
I'll print out a label, put it on the forehead. Yeah, but regardless, do our best to cover it just like we did last year, and I'll try not to be out of the country this time like I was last year. I mean, hopefully there's going to be a lot more interesting things about Workspace this time. Last time I was rather disappointed.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of sucked. I mean, they announced the update that starts tomorrow, but still, kind of sucked.
Right. It took them a year to get around.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Give or take. All right, let's talk about essentials.
Yeah, essentials.
So I don't know what the difference is between cloud identity, honestly, cloud identity free. I was just trying to look at some of the documentation here, and maybe it's just the simple fact that cloud identity is only known about by those who are in the GCP side of things and understand how to work with cloud identity, and they wanted something that was specifically branded to Workspace and the most lowest entry-level entry drug to Google Workspace possible that's also free. I mean, if you search free, I don't know, what would you even search to find cloud identity free? I have no idea. Like, what would the use case be that you would ever come up with that? I think here it's like, all right, we want something that companies can say, oh, okay, instead of just sharing a doc with us and then you have to log in, you have to have a Google account to work with it or not or whatever. Now it's just like, okay, yes, you can get Google Workspace for your domain without needing email. I mean, as a product, it makes sense to me and would have definitely come in handy over the years. And probably will be used by my organization and many others going forward, but it's not the answer to the G Suite legacy shutdown problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's essentially, to me, it's the same thing as cloud identity free. It's a managed consumer account that has your work email address attached to it. And, you know, it does most of the Google services without email and calendar. That's it. So,
did you manage to go in and create an account yet on Essentials?
Almost. I created my Zoho environment to get my emails on my test domain, and then I forgot the password that I set for my super admin. And I can only type it in once. And I thought I typed in the password that I typically use, and. Then no.
For your super admin account? Say it ain't so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Don't reuse passwords for super admin's accounts.
My test super admin accounts.
Okay, fine. Yeah,
not my actual super admin accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did manage to get in. I don't have Zoho's account set up yet, but I do want to get that set up as part of my research for the blog post that we've got up already. That is our guide to the whole G Suite legacy free shutdown. But what I actually did is I went on to one of my unused Google domains, set up a email alias forward, and just signed up under that email. And the sign up process was really simple. It would not allow me to use any domain that was already Workspace or that was Gmail. And it worked well at detecting what that was. Even domains that are secondary domains and are not primary, it detected those. So I set it up and it was really simple and straightforward. It's interesting because you don't necessarily think about it. Like, we all have that one app that we go to. For many of us, I imagine it's email. For me, it's usually email. For others, maybe it's chat or you know, you go directly into Drive. I was thinking like, well, where do I go if I want to log into this? If I go to Gmail, well, there's no Gmail. So what do I do? And so they actually instituted something called a team dashboard, and it has shortcuts to Drive, Docs, Sheets, Slides, Meet, and Chat, and a little bit of kind of introductory walk you through type stuff. But it seems like Drive is kind of the central focal point here. Because I figure that's what people are mostly going to be using this for, is the collaborative tools, the editors, etc. And then at the end of that list, in the order that I read it out, is Meet and Chat. So there will be some of that happening. I think they're trying to go after some of the free tier of Slack and Zoom and whatnot, to make it really easy for companies to try it out and to use it with an unlimited trial here. It does also have a people manager, so you can invite anybody else in your domain. And a permissions tab as well, so that you can go through. There's not really any options here. The only thing it says is when a new team member joins, they can only access their own My Drive and Spaces or events they create and resources explicitly shared with them or the organization. So again, a little bit of this entry level onboarding stuff here, because they figure the people that are on here are not familiar with Google Workspace, and they'd probably be correct. One of the things that I commented before the show here is essential editions. If there's an essential starter, then that probably paves the way for what an essentials enterprise. And sure enough, on the permissions page, it says skill, productivity, and team collaboration. And for $10 per user per month, you can upgrade to get more storage, collaborative features, security controls, and more. But it does not list email. So there's a whole nother upgrade path for here to be able to get access to more features. But email, not email? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it. No, yeah. It ups the storage. It ups the Meet settings, better team management.
Yeah.
And real-time support, but still no email, even right. For $10 a month. I already pay $10 a month for Google Workspace.
Yeah. And I
way to confuse everybody.
And I don't believe there's a way to migrate to a Workspace tier that has Gmail on there.
Really? Oh, you're killing me.
There has to be. I don't think.
There has to be.
You can't have two of them together. That's almost certain.
No, but you should be able to jump from one to the other. So here's where it gets weird.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, if this is basically your regular Workspace account, it looks and feels like a Workspace account minus Gmail. What happens if I try and go to Gmail? And so I try to go in Gmail and it says you don't have access to that. So I was like, all right, fine. Foiled. We're sorry, but you do not have access to Gmail. Please log into your admin console to enable Gmail. And I went, wait a minute, admin console. So I went to the admin console, and sure enough, not full, but you do have a admin console, and you have to log in just like you normally would. Gives you a login challenge, and it does have some basic admin capabilities there, including user management, directory, organizational units, groups, devices, apps, billing, and account and domains. Yeah. But as I start to drill down into here and I click into domains and manage domains and add a domain, it lets you add a domain. But then it says after you verify your domain, you will need to upgrade to Enterprise Essentials to take over admin management for your organization.
Upgrade to Enterprise.
So it gets almost all the way there, and it's like, now you have to upgrade
to what?
Enterprise Essentials.
Enterprise Essentials. Ah.
Yeah.
So you can only have one domain attached to an Enterprise Essentials environment.
So it would appear.
Okay.
So then I went into the handy dandy app switcher and was like, well, I wonder what's all up and over here. Old school Hangouts is still there, by the way. Okay. It was also Google Vault. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? So I went in and I got to the main Google Vault screen where you can choose Matters or what's the other one? Reports. So I click on Matters. And it says, sorry, you don't have access. So I hit the back button on my mouse, which I have standard on my mouse there, as I like to fly all over the place. And instead of going back to the home screen for Google Vault, it goes into Matters. So I'm like, all right, sure, let's see what happens. So I click to create a matter, and it says enter matter name. So I put it in, you know, test, whatever. I hit create. It thinks about it and says, we're sorry, but you do not have access to Google Vault. So it gets a little hokey after you start poking around at the edges of their capabilities here.
Yeah. I did notice one difference between Cloud Identity Free and Workspace Essentials. It is the ability to use chat.
Ah, no chat in cloud identity.
On CI free, none.
What about share drives?
Yes.
No share drives in cloud identity in essentials.
Wait, there's none?
No share drive capability
No. Let me double check that. You can't create one, but you can access them if you're shared on one.
Oh, yeah?
I'm pretty certain, yes. Oh, yeah.
Give me a moment while I test that. Talk about something else.
Well, I was going to just add a user onto a shared drive that I can access and test the cloud identity version.
You're going to test it in cloud identity. We really shouldn't test it. While we're recording here, but it's too irresistible.
Oh, I mean, what else are we going to do?
All right, let's see. Adding to shared drive now. Yeah. Share anyway. And let's see what happens. Oh, shared drive shows up. I can open the shared drive. Sure enough.
Okay.
Congrats, you're in. Shared drives. Well, that should be a capital letter. It's not. Shared drives are shared spaces to keep all of your teams or items organized. As a member, you can access all files in a shared drive. Guide me or got it. I hit got it. I am in like Flynn.
And what level, what level of access did you give yourself?
Content manager, I think. You did? Yes, content manager.
Okay. So here's the difference. Cloud identity free accounts can be added to a shared drive, but they can only be given viewer level access. They cannot be given anything higher.
I just changed that to manager. So
okay.
You can be a full manager level in shared drives that you do not create that you have shared with if you are the Essentials user. Yeah.
So
interesting, but spaces works well, chat works well. Yeah, go ahead.
So a little bit more with essentials then. A little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like
I wonder if they're gonna merge the two.
We got some drive features. I doubt it.
Yeah. Again,
because essentials has been around
the
for a while.
Difference That's, between
essentials
yeah.
is not really
well,
new,
but it wasn't this.
Wasn't it?
Now we're gonna have to go back and check.
I'm pretty sure Essentials was. I mean, Essentials has been around for a little while. I thought it was only maybe on a paid tier, and now it's free.
Was Essentials Frontline? Is that what you're thinking of?
No, no. Essentials has been around.
Let's see. They had it. It was different though. I'm trying to remember.
There was. Yeah.
Google Workspace Essentials, formerly G Suite Essentials, provides full stack collaborative solutions, includes doc sheets and slides for teams, yada yada yada. Did I just never try and open one of these before? I don't know. I have to do some research. So well, then why is it news that they released this if it's been around all this time?
I think it's just the Workspace Essentials starter plan is what is new.
Okay, so Essentials was what, just cheaper and had Gmail or didn't have Gmail?
Did not.
Let me look. So it was a paid tier that they made free, is what you're saying?
Yes. Let me look here. I'm looking at the Workspace Essentials pitch deck from 2020.
That'll do it.
Yeah. And. See
anything
here? I'm trying to find some of the pricing here, but I don't see it. It was all about selling Workspace Essentials, so it was just not a. There was not a. There was two SKUs. There was Workspace Essentials, and there was Enterprise Essentials, and there was not the the free tier to it. That was the main difference, that they were there was no free tier for it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, did they change the way that it's arranged? Because I've never seen any of these screens before.
Yeah, so this was
certainly never been marketed this way either.
Yeah, see, this was some things that there was like to watch out for back when Essentials was announced. So as limited migration path for Essential customers to core workspace SKUs. Like I said, there's limited migration paths. There's, and now again, this was back in 2021, kind of early 2021. No ability at the time to migrate between Essentials and Enterprise Essentials. I think that is now possible. And then also it was not possible to downgrade from core workspace SKUs to Essentials. So I think that is still the case.
Interesting.
A few little caveats to it. I'll have to, I'll share with you some information on Enterprise Essentials from back in the day after we're done with this, just to see.
Looking through some of these sites. I did also poke around, and it looks like it's an easy upgrade path if you want to go from Essentials, the current Essentials account, Essentials Starter, to a proper workspace.
Okay, so they must have made that a bit better then.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think maybe not.
Yeah,
the license management looks identical. I can switch to Workspace Enterprise Essentials, which is the upgraded storage and capabilities and whatnot. Well, we'll have to hit the sales team and we'll get somebody from Google to talk about it.
The way they did it before, I can reach out. I've got the person who was leading the initiative last time. But the way that it was working before was Workspace Essentials was based on active user pricing. So, you know, if you had 1,000 users in there and only 500 were active, you weren't paying for all 1,000, you're paying for 500. Workspace Essentials was also just email verified versus Enterprise Essentials, which is domain verified. Availability for Workspace Essentials was online only versus Enterprise Essentials was offline only, which basically means you had to talk to someone to get Enterprise Essentials. And Workspace Essentials you could just do yourself. Storage on Workspace Essentials before was 100 gig per user, and then Enterprise was 1 terabyte per user. So
now it's 15 gig.
But this is for the starter, Enterprise Essentials Starter, the unpaid version. These were both paid tiers before.
Right.
$8 and $10, depending on which one we're talking about there.
Right. But so, to my earlier point, if they can make a SKU with 15 gig and it's free and it's basically Workspace, why can't they just give us email that'll use the same 15 gig and solve the problems of us legacy users? Right. So let's talk about that for a minute. I have been working all week on a post, mega guide blog post. It's probably like 18 pages long at this point. It goes in depth into how we got here, what started this, what, you know, even what the original Google for your domain was, with any screenshots I could find, walks us forward through to what's happening today. A little history lesson. Yep. And finishing off with the options for staying on, if you want to pay for it, or if your business, you should be paying for it, as well as going to be finishing up how to migrate off and what options you have to do so. And so that's continuing to come together. So go and check that out. That's just, you can go to our website and see it there. It's also going to be linked on, or I think it's already linked on the YouTube video that we did about this. So if you missed that, you can go and check that out on the YouTube channel. But essentially, one of the big takeaways there, nice, no pun intended. One of the big takeaways there is that, you know, we're bitching about this to no end, and it sounds extremely pretentious to say, because it's like we got a decade and a half of free service from them. And I just want to clarify that there's a lot of people that have their families and, you know, soccer clubs or knitting clubs or teams or whatever on the platform that are not making any money and may as well be nonprofits, but don't have nonprofit status. And there's too many people there to make it worthwhile for them to pay for it. Number one. Number two, those of us who are using it for our families, for a couple of friends or whatnot, we are willing to pay for it. We're just not willing to pay business level pricing. And, you know, there are other options out there, like Microsoft has Office 365 for families for $100 a year for up to 6 users with a terabyte per user shared storage. And Zoho has the Essentials, their free package, which I believe you were signing up for and playing around with. And iCloud Plus includes domain custom emails as well. And a lot of people who have iPhones are already paying for that from Apple. So, you know, there are options if you want to jump ship, but I'm just kind of holding out here and hoping that Google is going to listen to both the hordes of people internally that are fighting back, as well as all of us that are basically saying, dude, give us Gmail with a custom domain and no ads and we'll be happy. We'll pay for it. Just not $6 per user per month.
Yeah.
That's my spiel. Go read the rest of the blog post. Tabgeeks.com, workspacerecap.com. There you go. Gotta get a short link to that, but I'll put it on all the websites so that you guys can get to it easily. Anything else we have to talk about, Steve?
That's all for this week. Finish your question.
All right. Oh, you're going to do the ending now?
No, just joking.
Well, as I said the top of the show, if you haven't already, please go check out our YouTube channel. We're doing some fun stuff over there, more than just Google Workspace, but also Google Workspace. Our live events will be over there. Be sure to subscribe. That's tabgeeks.com/YouTube. But also now we got the domain. youtube.com/tabgeeks. So really easy to find that over there. And got some more interesting things coming down the pipe, and maybe we'll even get some videos from Steve covering cars at this weekend's auto show out there. So make sure to bring your good camera, and looking forward to see what you have to say. All right, have a great week, everyone, and we will see you next time on Workspace Recap.